This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines, and we begin up on Capitol Hill, where it's an unlucky 13 for longtime New York Democratic Congressman Charlie Rangel. 13 ethics violations charged against the former chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee for a variety of ethical violations as well as potential violation of federal statutes. The major allegation centers around the fact that he's accused of improperly soliciting money from corporate officials and lobbyists for the Charles B. Rangel Public Policy Center in New York. It's also accused that he failed to disclose hundreds of dollars in income and assets on financial disclosure forms. Also on the allegation list, that he maintained multiple rent-stabilized apartments in violation of New York City rules, and that he failed to pay income taxes on a resort home on a Dominican island. The focal point of the most serious accusations, though, are that center in New York City for public policy. According to the subcommittee that investigated the Rangel case, between 2005 and 2008, Rangel used his congressional staff to develop a list of potential donors to the center, then mailed letters to them from his Capitol Hill office on official letterhead to those donors, a major no-no up on Capitol Hill. Today, members of that bipartisan investigative subcommittee for the ethics panel testified about the 13 charges against Charlie Rangel. Alabama Republican Joe Bonner says members of the subcommittee from both parties all reached the same conclusion.
The record should note that all supporting evidence was transmitted to the full committee with the unanimous support of the bipartisan investigative subcommittee.
Also speaking out, the top Republican on the investigative subcommittee, and that was Mike McCall of Texas, a former federal prosecutor. He says one of the biggest problems related to the conduct of Charlie Rangel is that it brings a whole lot of discredit on the House of Representatives, which is the last thing Congress needs.
And these allegations, if proven, would violate multiple provisions of House rules and federal statutes. This includes his alleged violation of the most fundamental code of conduct, which states a member of the House shall conduct himself at all times in a manner that shall reflect credibility on the House.
Back to Mr. Bonner of Alabama. He says it didn't have to come to this. Charlie Rangel could have fessed up a long time ago, and none of this would be happening right now.
During the course of this investigation, Mr. Rangel was given multiple opportunities to settle this matter. Instead, he chose to move forward into this public trial phase.
Texas Congressman Gene Green is a Democrat and a longtime friend of Charlie Rangel. He says it's been difficult to do this investigation.
One of the most difficult tasks assigned to a member of Congress is to sit in judgment of a colleague. The task is even more difficult when the subject of the investigation has befriended and mentored so many new members of Congress, myself being one of them.
Congressman Rangel, for his part, has had nothing to say publicly since the committee released the 13 ethics charges. But earlier, Congressman Rangel says this ranks right up there with one of the worst days of his life.
60 years ago, I survived a Chinese attack in North Korea. And as a result, I wrote a book that, having survived that, that I hadn't had a bad day since. Today, I have to reassess that.
For more analysis of the Charlie Rangel situation, catch my interview with John Gizzi of Human Events. That's found at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. Also today, much more intense reaction from some other members of the Obama administration to the WikiLeaks scandal, in which more than 91,000 classified documents were leaked over the Internet just days ago. Defense Secretary Robert Gates announcing today that he's launching a full-scale investigation into who is really behind this leak, and he's cooperating with the FBI as part of that investigation. He says that these leaks could have very negative consequences.
The battlefield consequences of the release of these documents are potentially severe and dangerous for our troops, our allies, and Afghan partners, and may well damage our relationships and reputation in that key part of the world. Intelligence sources and methods, as well as military tactics, techniques, and procedures, will become known to our adversaries.
Gates says he worries about those who have helped us in that part of the world now that their identities and locations have been revealed.
We have a moral responsibility to do everything possible to mitigate the consequences for our troops and our partners downrange, especially those who have worked with and put their trust in us in the past, who now may be targeted for retribution.
Gates is not the only one furious about this. So is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen.
As I said earlier this week, I'm appalled by this behavior and, frankly, outraged that anyone in their right mind would think it valuable to make public even one sensitive report, let alone tens of thousands of them, about a war that is being waged.
But the Joint Chiefs chairman went even further than that, saying that those responsible for putting this information out publicly when it was classified may very well have blood on their hands soon if they don't already.
Mr. Assange can say whatever he likes about the greater good he thinks he and his source are doing, but the truth is they might already have on their hands the blood of some young soldier or that of an Afghan family. Disagree with the war all you want. Take issue with the policy. Challenge me or our ground commanders on the decisions we make to accomplish the mission we've been given. But don't put those who willingly go into harm's way, even further in harm's way, just to satisfy your need to make a point.
Mullen admits that much of the content was already known, but he says the fact that now that it's all out there for our enemies to see could impact future tactical operations.
The sheer size and scope of the collection now demands a careful review to determine the degree to which future tactical operations may be impacted and the degree to which the lives of our troops and Afghan partners may be at risk.
And one final note, to no one's surprise, the state of Arizona announcing it will appeal a federal court's ruling that came down on Wednesday, temporarily striking down key provisions of the state's new immigration enforcement laws. On Wednesday, federal judge Susan Bolton said that certain provisions were illegal as a result of the federal government having supremacy over immigration policy. That means provisions like forbidding illegals to seek or perform work will be stripped out. Police are not allowed to demand proof of legal status, and sanctuary cities for the time being will continue to be allowed in the state of Arizona. The state has appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, although just about everyone agrees this will eventually be decided by the Supreme Court. For more insight on this, please listen to my interview with Sheriff Larry Deaver of Cochise County, Arizona, which is right on the Mexican border. You can hear that interview at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While you're there, you can also hear my interview with Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, who explains to us just how complicated and how bureaucratic the new healthcare system will be once it's fully implemented. worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.